Podcast.
Good morning, North Rock. How are we doing today? Are we good? We have some energy in the room? Yeah, okay. I'll try to bring my fair share of what you guys respond and like, okay? Hey, really glad to be back to this weekend. We're in the beginning of a series that we're calling At the Well, or Going Back to the Well, in which we're taking some time to look into John chapter 4 and the interaction that the woman at the well and Jesus had together. And we thought that it would be a great way to enter into 2017, because I don't know if you're anything like me or not, but I like that God set up this world in a way that there are weeks and days and nights so we can always restart what we've already started. Does that make sense? So I like that in January, we as a congregation take time to set aside, again, both the mission of the church, our very lives, and say, God, we're coming back to the well, and we're taking some time to pray and to fast. I know many of you are participating in that with us. But that's really what the heart of this series is about, is taking a look into that interaction that the woman at the well had to see what kind of insights we might glean and gain as we move into 2017. How many of you like me, not just like me, but like me, right, set goals and New Year's resolution type of things at the beginning of the year, right? Yeah, I'm kind of driven that way. I'm a high D kind of a personality. I'm always thinking about what's next, what else, how else can we move forward? And so for me, to take this approach was kind of fun to think about. What if instead of saying, how can we do these things better or do more of that or really venture off into that, if we just made it more our heart's posture as a congregation to come to the well, to meet with Jesus more often in 2017. Is that a good thing to do this year? I think it is, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. I love that in this story that we're getting ready to dive into, that Jesus speaks into this woman's life in a way that addresses not just her identity, but also the resource that he has for her. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to dive in, okay? Let's pray. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name, Lord, for the opportunity to gather, to hear your word, Lord, to encourage one another, to be built up in our faith, and most of all, Lord, to just worship you, to be reminded today that you are the source of our resource and that it's you through us that really does the work of your purpose in our lives. And so, Lord, we bless you today. Pray that you'd speak to us and that we'd be changed because of it. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. So if you have your Bibles with you, I want you to go ahead and open those up to chapter 4 of John. And we're going to be looking at verses 10 through 15 today. If you were here last week, Pastor Andrew did a phenomenal job in kind of talking about the identity markers around this interaction with the woman at the well and with Jesus. If you haven't had a chance to listen to that, it's available at northrockchurch.com. Be sure to get on there and listen to that. It's worth listening to. But where Andrew took the approach last week, it was more about the dynamics of that interaction and what God was saying, Jesus was saying about himself and what he was saying about that woman when they came together and met at the well. Today, we're going to spend a little more time focusing on what Jesus has to say about resource in our lives. Okay, so let's jump in. John chapter 4, verses 10 through 15 says this. Jesus replied, if you only knew, let me see if I can help you guys out for those that don't have a Bible. Huh? Look at that. All right, so Jesus replied, if you only knew the gift God had for you and who you were speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water. But sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket, she said. And this well is very deep. Where would you ever get this living water? And besides, do you think that you're greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoyed? Jesus replied, anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. Please, sir, the woman said, give me this water. Then I'll never be thirsty again, and I won't have to come to get water here again. Are you guys tracking with the story and how it's unfolding here? If you were here last week, we concentrated on the beginning part of that of that passage. And the interaction is about a midday interaction of a woman who comes kind of in hiding where Jesus comes into her life and breaks through the social and the religious kind of mores of the time. He kind of shatters the things that would keep her from being able to interact with him. And right about the time that she gets over the shock and awe of, wait a minute, are you talking to me, right? You guys ever have those interactions where Jesus speaks something to you? You're like, me? You're talking to me. Okay, I got it, right? She gets through that. And then the very next thing out of her mouth is she begins to question Jesus about how he's going to do this thing and whether or not what he's offering is really better than what she had. Anybody know what I'm talking about today? Huh? I love that. I love that these things pop up out of these stories that he says, I'm going to give you living water. She says, well, who are you? Right? Are you better than Jacob? You know, how are you going to get this water, right? And I find myself so often trying to figure out how it is that God's going to deliver something rather than being concentrating on the things that I'm supposed to be doing, right? She almost automatically gets fixated on the bucket, the way that this thing's going to go down in what Jesus is offering her. And what I find in my own life where I identify with this woman is that I so often get over fixated on the vessel, on the bucket, on the rope, on the ways that God's going to do something rather than just getting focused on who he is and what he wants to do. Anybody else in the room today? So the question that I'm wrestling with this year is simply this. What would it look like for us to live truly thirsty lives? To hunger and to thirst for righteousness. In other words, instead of trying to fill our own buckets, instead of trying to fill our own time, instead of trying to figure out our identities based on this or that or the other, but rather we would empty ourselves, we would pour out ourselves, and we would allow Jesus to refill us as people who live thirsty. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6 says this, says, God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. Other translations of the Bible interpret that word justice as righteousness. So you can read it. God blesses those who hunger and who thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. How many of you guys would like to live a more satisfied life? I know I do. I know that's really what Jesus is saying to this woman is, I'm not only going to address your identity because of who I am, I'm going to address your resource because I'm the source of your resource. And I'm here to offer you something that he called living water. How many of you guys know that the metaphors in the scriptures are meaningful, that they're impactful? We know that we all need water to be sustained. We all need to come and to drink of that water. But the good news is that sometimes we can get so overfixated on the container that we forget about what's actually being poured into us and where that might come from, right? We become more worried about what the container looks like or what the container's doing or what the container or the bucket might have in its appearance and not as much as, it doesn't matter as much as we might think. How many of you guys have ever been really thirsty in life? Right? Like thirsty. Like right now I'm a little bit thirsty. I'm going to take a drink, okay? You guys can watch me take a drink. Anybody thirsty now? Now maybe a little bit, right? What about just a physical thirst? Have you ever been in a season or a time or been out exercising or doing something where you got really thirsty? You know, I can remember being a young boy and getting up at the crack of dawn, going and grabbing my football and heading out to the park and playing all day long, all evening long, sun up to sundown. And then I would come home to get a drink at my grandmother's house. And I can remember busting through those doors and looking for the first source of water that I could find. And it just so happened that she had a hallway right through the front door that was closer than the kitchen. So the kitchen would have been a better choice, but this was the closest one. So I'd bust through and I'd run in there. And the problem with getting a drink from grandma's faucet in the bathroom is that all she had was these little Dixie cups. You guys remember Dixie cups, right? They're about that big, I mean, about the size of a shot glass. Not that any of us in here has ever seen a shot glass, right? Okay, some of us have, all right. So I'd go in there, and I mean, you just get your face as close to the faucet as you can, you fill it, and you just drink, and you lap it up, and you drink it, and you drink it, and you drink it, and drink it. And the good news is that my thirst would be satisfied, that I would be filled up with that. But also know there's other ways to get drinks, right? There's also something called a super big gulp that some of us get coffee and soda and all kinds of things to try to quench our thirst with. that work too, right? So the good news in this story is that it's not about the container. It's not about the size of the container, the color of the container, the background of the container. It's about the living water that gets put into the container, right? So that's some good news. The other good news about using these two kind of images of this kind of a metaphor is that you can get your thirst quenched with either of them. Okay. So back to the story. The good news of this story is that the quality and the quantity of this living water that Jesus was offering this woman wasn't determined or dictated by the container that he was offering it to, right? That it wasn't about the person. It wasn't about the type of bucket or the type of rope that they were going to use to draw up this water. And when she came to that realization and understood that it's not about the rope, it's not about the bucket, it's about the person that I'm speaking with. Remember how he said that if you truly understood who you're speaking to, you would ask and you would get what it is that I have for you. The quality and the quantity of the water available is not determined by the container. How many of you guys, as Americans, know that we are in the midst of a bottled water phenomenon in our culture, right? And I know there's a lot of us that partake of bottled water because recent studies have determined that over 74% of Americans say they drink out of bottled water. They drink bottled water as a preference to tap water or anything else that they get. See, in 1976, a company named Evian Water, how many of you guys ever drink an Evian? Yeah? Yeah, they came up with this idea. It's kind of a luxury idea for people. Ooh, you can not just have regular water, you can have bottled water, right? And if you remember, they started putting in hotels, you know, for like $150 a bottle and those kind of things, right? But what they did in the process of that was create a manufactured necessity that really wasn't available, didn't even start until 1976, to where now there's a whole lot of people. In fact, 74% of Americans say they'd prefer to drink bottled water. So I'm going to show you a little clip just about that phenomenon and how that works.
One of the problems with trying to use less stuff is that sometimes we feel like we really need it. What if you live in a city like, say, Cleveland, and you want a glass of water? Are you going to take your chances and get it from the city tap? Or should you reach for a bottle of water that comes from the pristine rainforest of Fiji? Well, Fiji brand water thought the answer to this question was obvious, so they built a whole ad campaign around it. It turned out to be one of the dumbest moves in advertising history. You see, the city of Cleveland didn't like being the butt of Fiji's jokes, so they did some tests, and guess what? These tests showed a glass of Fiji water is lower quality, it loses taste tests against Cleveland tap, and costs thousands of times more. This story is typical of what happens when you test bottled water against tap water. Is it cleaner? Sometimes, sometimes not. In many ways, bottled water is less regulated than tap. Is it tastier? In taste tests across the country, people consistently choose tap over bottled water. These bottled water companies say they're just meeting consumer demand. But who would demand a less sustainable, less tasty, way more expensive product, especially when you can get for almost free in your kitchen? Bottled water costs about 2,000 times more than tap water. Can you imagine paying 2,000 times the price of anything else? How about a $10,000 sandwich? Yet people in the U.S. buy more than 500 million bottles of water every week. That is enough to circle the globe more than 5 times. How did this come to be?
How did this come to be? It became because of a manufactured necessity. And the reason that I show that particular video isn't just that I might save us some money for those who have set financial goals for 2017, right? Is that we stop paying 2,000 times the price of something that we don't necessarily need to pay for. But really because the illustration of the Fiji campaign spoke something to me. It spoke something to me that there's a whole lot of opportunity in this world for us to fall for some campaign of something that's supposed to quench our thirst. When Jesus says, I'm living water. If you'll come and drink of me, you will be fulfilled, right? You will be satisfied. You will, as he told her in that interaction, you will drink of something far better, far greater than the water that is available in this well, okay? So Jesus says, come and drink and you won't thirst anymore. In other words, I have renewable resource. I have better than you will ever find or experience in any other way in your life if you'll choose to come and drink from me and not from some of the other places that we might choose to try to go and drink from. In other words, the well is deep. In fact, that well, Jacob's well, still exists today, and it's over 100 feet deep, 15 feet of water still abides in it. And it's not running low. It's not running. There's not any of it running out. But the well is there to drink of. Okay, so how many is getting thirsty in here today? How many times can we say thirsty in one message? Do you think 30? We'll try for 40. How about that? Okay, it's not just me though. It's also written here in Isaiah 55 in the Old Testament. And Isaiah says, prophesying, he says, "Is anyone thirsty? Come and drink. Even if you have no money, come. Take your choice of wine or milk. It's all free. Why spend your money on food that does not give you strength? Why pay for food that does you no good? Listen to me and you will eat what is good. You will enjoy the finest food. Come to me with your ears wide open. Listen and you will find life. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. I will give you all the unfailing love that I promised to David." Isn't that a good promise today, church? That as we remember that it's not about us filling our buckets with things, it's about us emptying our buckets and allowing Jesus to refill it, whether it's in short, brief interactions of a Dixie cup or the deep wells of the Big Gulp, he will bring satisfaction to our lives. How many of you guys remember Snickers ad campaign not too long ago? It says, "You're just not yourself when you're hungry," right? That's right, that's right. Because Snickers satisfies, right? Snickers satisfies. For those of you who haven't had the pleasure of seeing that recently, I've pulled that video clip up for you as well.
Can we turn the AC up? I'm dying back here.
It's on. Can't you feel it?
Can you feel that?
Oh.
Jeff, eat a Snickers, please.
Why?
Every time you get hungry, you turn into a diva. Just eat it so we can all coexist.
Turn into your diva.
Put it in your system, cranky pants.
Okay.
Thank you.
Better?
Better.
Will you get your knees out of the back of my seat?
You're not you when you're hungry. Snickers satisfies.
You're not you when you're hungry, right? So as followers of Jesus, what I would say is that we're not ourselves when we're not hungry. When we're choosing to take the time to eat of the things that do not satisfy, then we're not as much ourselves as Jesus says we are, right? I mean, really, that's the miracle in this story. This woman came with a very terrible background, with an outcast kind of a situation. And Jesus goes to her and says, "Listen, it's not about your container." He says, "If you'll come and you'll drink of what I offer you, you'll never thirst again," right? I love that. I love the fact that Jesus is saying, "What I have to offer you is so much better than anything else you could pour into the container. And it's sustainable. It'll continue to feed," right? How many of you guys have ever had a microwave meal? Right? Yeah, all of us, right? Yeah. To me, that verse reminded me of microwave meals. Like, we eat it because it's warm. And it tastes good. Right? I know I'm stepping on some toes. We got some Hot Pocket-friendly people in this place. I mean, we all went to college, or those that went to college, you know, had some ramen from time to time, or still do. Right? Yeah, we all, you know, but we also recognize that there's not a lot of nutrients in some of those meals. And what I hear in Jesus' interaction with this woman, what I hear in Isaiah, what I hear in John chapter 6, is that Jesus doesn't just offer us a microwave meal. He offers us a 7-course meal. Now, this isn't a Hot Pockets meal. This is a filet mignon meal, right? And I've been fasting meats through January here, so that sounds even better at this moment, okay? That he offers filet mignon. He says, "If you will choose to, instead of filling your bucket with a bunch of stuff and then coming and getting a couple of drips from me." Right? "I will satisfy your thirst. I will satisfy your hunger, and you won't hunger or thirst anymore." John chapter 6, verse 32 to 35 says it this way. Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Moses didn't give you bread from heaven. My Father did. And now he offers you the true bread from heaven. The true bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, give us this bread every day. And Jesus replied, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never thirst again. So what are we talking about this for? It's to reinforce the truth that Jesus is the source of our resource. And that if we, like the woman at the well, can get our eyes off of, let's fix up the bucket, let's fix up the container, let's fix up the rope, let's not worry about how God's going to do something, let's trust him to do what he said he was going to do, that we'll find the spiritual nourishment that we need in our lives. And it's from that place that we can be used by God to meet the spiritual nourishment of others, right? Why is this important? Why should we choose to drink deep at the well of Jesus? Why take time to fast? Why give God the very first and very best of our lives? Because living water is meant to be poured out. Living water is meant to be poured out in our lives and through our lives to others. And my hope is that as we experience Jesus as the bread of life, as the living water in 2017, that we would be a people who nourish others in this world. Because living water is not just fresh, it's renewable. Living water takes away the thirst that nothing else can. And the other promise that he gave that woman was that it springs up from within us. That when we choose to come and draw near and to draw from that well, Jesus nourishes not just us, but those in our lives. There's a passage in Isaiah chapter 43, verses 18 through 20, that I want you to turn to if you have your Bibles with you today. If you don't, I'm going to put it on the screen behind me so you don't have to stress it, okay? But the reason that it's important that we draw deeply from the well of living water is because I believe that God has promises over our lives beyond what we've currently experienced. How many of you guys can believe for that in 2017? That what he's going to accomplish in us and through us, both collectively and individually, is beyond what we've experienced to this point. Now, I know that's what you say. Well, you're the preacher. You're supposed to say that, right? I really believe that this is something that God's speaking to us. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18 through 20 says this. But forget all of that. Forget what's behind, right? Forget all of that. It is nothing compared to what I'm going to do. Verse 19 says, for I am about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. The wild animals in the field will thank me, the jackals and the owls too, for giving them water in the desert. Yes, I will make rivers in the dry wasteland so my chosen people can be refreshed. Does that encourage anybody this morning? Or is it just me, right? It's okay if it's just me. I mean, that's what happens. God tells me stuff, and sometimes I share it with you. Hopefully, you know, it scratches your itch as well, right? But I love what's in this story. It's not just that God can provide in a dry season. It's not just that God can cause rivers to rise up in the middle of a wasteland, in the middle of a desert. It says that he'll take time to nourish and refresh the owls and the jackals and make sure that his chosen people can be refreshed. That's a good promise today. I don't know about you, but I've run into a couple of jackals recently. Right? Anybody know some jackals in this world, right? Or some owls, right? Some people that will be naturally encouraged because we come to the well of life, because we come to Jesus and we drink of the new, we drink of the living water that he offers us. Amen? Amen? Amen. Okay, I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. And as they do, I wanted to just read you one more passage. So to summarize the story of the woman at the well, she came as an outcast, she interacted with Jesus, and she found a point of identity. Not only her identity, she recognized his identity as the one who gives resource, the source of all resource. And the good news of the gospel is that anyone can have that interaction. See, satisfaction and refreshment come from living water, a a renewable resource that only Jesus provides for us. Psalm 145, verse 16 says this, says that when he opens his hands, he satisfies the hunger and the thirst of every living thing. In 2017, can we make it our mission, church, to not just come, not just draw up living water, but to be used by God to see that spread and poured out throughout the world, right? Because I can promise you, there are some people in your life right now, people in your family, people at your workplace, people around the world that are counting on us to come and draw deep of living water. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that when you open your hand, you satisfy the hunger and the thirst of all creation. We thank you for that promise. And Lord, we make it our heart's cry, our desire to follow after you, Lord. To come to the place that satisfies, to draw near to you, and to be filled once again of what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship. Father, we do take a moment this morning. We acknowledge that sometimes we can become more worried about what our bucket looks like than really drawing near to what you're doing in our lives. Lord, we thank you today that your resources, the renewable, that the quality of those resources have nothing to do with the vessels that we are walking around in. And Lord, today we acknowledge that you are the one who brings true satisfaction to our lives, that you are the one who are the only one who offers living water and the bread of life. And so, Lord, as we go into 2016, we thank you for the opportunity to know you, to live through you, and to be filled by you over and over. Maybe you're here today and you'd say, Pastor Chad, I don't know that I've ever become aware of this living water, this relationship that Jesus offers, that he offered the woman at the well. And today, I find myself with a bucket full of stuff, full of self, full of shame maybe. And today what I'd like to do is dump that bucket, to pour that bucket out. In fact, I think that's something that the Lord might be speaking to a whole lot of us today. That if we could visualize that metaphor, if we could in fact even just take the posture of our hands out in front of us and imagine a bucket in your hand right now. What's filling your bucket? What is it? I'm sure if it's anything like mine, it's some good stuff. It's some not so good stuff. But here's the reality, here's the challenge of drawing from Jesus is if our buckets are full, there's nowhere for him to pour out into us. And so the freeing part of this message is simply that if we'll do our part and dump the bucket, the good, the bad, the history, pour it out, we'll see ourselves as our identity in him and our resource coming from him. He'll refill that bucket in Jesus' name. How many receive that today? Yeah, thank you, Lord. Bless you for that. We thank you, God. And today that's what we do as a congregation. We dump out the old, Lord. We receive your word that says, forget the old. Behold, I'm doing something new, something far better, far greater than we've ever experienced. In Jesus' name, Lord, we receive that today. We believe for that in 2017. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. But if you're here today and you say, Pastor Chad, I don't know that I know Jesus. I don't know as I stand here today that he is as committed to me as he was to the woman at the well. If that's you here today, we're going to pray a prayer in just a moment as our heart's expression, as our cry to him to know him as Lord and Savior. And so if you pray that prayer for the very first time today, I'd love to meet you after the service, okay? But for everybody else, whether it's the first time we're praying it or the 500th time we prayed it, let's pray it like it's our first, with hungry hearts and thirsty lives. Lord Jesus, I invite you into my life. I believe that you died on the cross for my sin and you rose from the grave 3 days later. Thank you, Lord. I receive forgiveness for every failure and sin in my life and give to you the right to direct my life from this day forward. I dedicate myself to learning the scripture, living in fellowship with God's people, and following you in water baptism. In Jesus' name we pray, we trust. Amen, amen, amen. Hey, if God's doing something in your life, can you give him an applause? Thank you, Lord. We bless you in this place. We declare your goodness and your resource and your identity over our people. Hey, God bless you guys. Thank you for being here at North Rock. If you would like prayer for any need in your life, we have a prayer team available for that. Otherwise, have a great week, and thanks for being here at North Rock, all right? God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this North Rock resource. To find out more information about North Rock Church, check us out at www.northrockchurch.com.